The workday is done. Social media is heating up.
Ding, ding, boys. School's in session.
Welcome to Sports Talk with Personality. You riding with us?
Yes.
Great. Coming to argue?
That's a given. That's a given.
Even better.
Let's get the show going.
Clock out, crank up.
People got the popcorn. Let's give them a show.
The drive starts now on WSJS.
Here we go. It is a Wednesday drive right here on WSJS. News Talk Sports for the Triad. I'm Will Dalton, the WD, joining you for the next couple of hours. However you're watching, however you're listening, we appreciate that. Pop in our YouTube stream on the drive at Will Dalton. Pop into our stream on X at WSJS Radio. And let's get this party started. What a busy night in Raleigh last night. What a busy night. If game one is any indicator, we are in for a heck of a series between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Vegas Golden Knights. Obviously, if you were watching last night, did not exactly go the way Carolina, well, parts of it went exactly how Carolina drew it up. I mean, first of all, the vibes last night around the Lenovo Center, just immaculate, man. You couldn't have had it any better. The Caniacs were out in full force. You had the fans obviously inside the arena, towels waving the whole nine yards. But then outside, you had concerts going on. You had the tailgates. You had the grills fired up. Like somebody who covers hockey nationally, who was there last night, I guess it was their first time going to a Hurricanes game, and they tweeted out, yeah, whatever you think Carolina tailgating is, it's better. And we already knew that. So the vibes outside, terrific. And then, of course, inside you had Lord Stanley. They brought out the trophy right there before the national anthem. Seeing that environment that we all know, especially, I mean, if you've been to a Hurricanes game, at least we know what that building sounds like when it's on. And I mean, it's all, so that sounds like that in November, but having that shared with the entire sports world on the Stanley Cup final stage, it's a pretty cool thing to see for us that, again, already know what it's all about there in Raleighwood. You had the Rod Brind'Amour fist bump when they were introducing the lineups, when they introduced him. And then when it got on the ice, it did go exactly how Carolina probably drew it up. They scored. Nikolaj Ehlers scores 25 seconds into the game, in the blink of an eye. In fact, so we have a clip, but it's not the clip you probably saw. So where did this happen, Morgan, where like there was no play-by-play commentary on the broadcast?
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. They had no commentary for whatever the reason. I don't know how that works. So all they got was just straight game audio. Just game vibes. And here's how it sounded. Just listen to the pop of the Lenovo Center when Nikolaj Ehlers scores that first goal. Oh, it's just incredible. And then he does it again. As if that wasn't enough to, like, get the party started, he does it again. That first goal that he scored 25 seconds in was the third fastest goal in Game 1 of a Stanley Cup Final, the fastest since Reggie Leach had one for Philly in 21 seconds in 1976. That's moving. So up to that point, it was just immaculate vibes, but then Vegas woke up. You poke the bear a little bit, it wakes up. You poke at the beast, it's going to come get you. Because Vegas is not Montreal. Vegas isn't Philly. Vegas isn't Ottawa. They're not. And Rod Brind'Amour, I thought he spelled that out pretty well after the game.
Yeah, I mean, this is a totally different team. And that may be part of it too.
You know, we got to get up to speed on how this game and this series is going to go. I think we certainly got a taste of that now. And, you know, similarly, we made a lot of mistakes in that first game. It cost us, but, yeah, you can't make them. Can't make them.
Yeah. Vegas is a different animal. So they respond. You know, they were a little off at the start, but they got going. And then it just became a back-and-forth affair. And Vegas is the type of team, if they get space, if they get some of that, they're going to make you pay. Here was a little bit more from Rod Brind'Amour on mistakes last night.
Great start. You know, we had a pretty bad turnover to get them back in the game when there's really no reason for it. It's one thing when you're under siege. We really were under siege there, and we just kind of tossed it away, and then they made us pay on it. So, you know, you got to give them credit. That's a great team, and we were right there. We made a few mistakes that we got to try to clean up, and we've got to have a little better execution. Again, you're not winning this thing if you have those kind of errors and lack of execution.
Vegas answered. Then the Canes went back up. Then Vegas answered again. Then they went up. Then the Canes tied it. And ultimately, it was Tomas Hertl with a late goal to make it a 5-4 final. And that was it. I mean, it was like a great boxing match almost, just back and forth. So you might recall, though, the Canes did take a punch from Montreal in game one. Now, as we just described and as Rod Brind'Amour did, this ain't Montreal. But the Canes did look better in this game one than they did the last time when they got handled by Montreal in that one. So I think last night was an indicator of what this series could and will likely look like. So Canes in six, I still say. But we did, Morgan and I, we both had Vegas in game one and caught a little flack for that yesterday. You know, how could you pull against your team? Well, I got to be objective when I'm behind this thing. And I thought it was going to be a back-and-forth, high-scoring affair with Vegas winning. Here we are.
Vegas looked amazing last night. Man, they did not back down from anything that Carolina was giving them.
No.
And Carolina did not back down when Vegas scored three straight. It was an amazing game. I mean, I turned it on a minute late, and they were already celebrating. I'm like, Well, here we're back at this again. But it couldn't have been a better game one. It wasn't a blowout. One team didn't dominate the last two periods. It was very even throughout the game, and Carolina almost got it there late. They had a few good shots that don't remember Vegas' goalie's name off the top of my head here, but he did a phenomenal job with some last-minute saves there in the last 3 minutes to keep them up one, but Carolina's looked phenomenal, way better out the gate than it did against Montreal.
Yeah, Vegas, Carter Hart was in net for them. So, it was a terrific game. It was fun to watch. And if this is any indicator, it's going to be a great series. Game two in Raleigh tomorrow night. And who knows, maybe the Canes are leaving this thing up, going back to Vegas. We'll give you a prediction for that one on tomorrow's program. But I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you thought. 336-777-1600. As you watch just a back-and-forth battle between the two. I mean, it's fitting because these are the two hottest teams in hockey. I mean, they are. Vegas swept Colorado, who was supposed to come out of the West, and Canes, they were 12-1 to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. So these were the two hottest teams, and boy, they looked like it last night. 336-777-1600. Do you have concerns about the Carolina Hurricanes after a Game 1 narrow loss? Now we transition to the NFL. Aaron Donald to the Rams is picking up steam. Like, you know, we had fun with the Pat McAfee audio yesterday of Pat having texted Aaron Donald, and he's like, yeah, it kind of got me thinking. And Aaron was literally in the gym, I believe, when he responded to that. But it's legit picking up steam and momentum. Like, this is no longer just a, hey, that would be kind of cool if. It actually looks, it smells like this is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. That's it. So NFL insider Jordan Schultz apparently texted Aaron Donald yesterday. And the quote that he got from him that he posted on his X, I'm sure flirting with the idea hell of an opportunity for the Super Bowl in SoFi this year. It's another fun nugget. If I can find the fire, it's a possibility. You also had Dan Orlovsky. He was on with Mina Kimes and her podcast yesterday, I want to say. And he weighed in on this.
After hearing the exchange with Pat, my gut tells me this is more than likely going to happen. I think the timing will be interesting. I would imagine it is a late October, early November thing. He's not going to go into camp. He's not going to play 20 games. But if this team is where they are and or where they should be, and he has to give them 8 to 10 games and make a run, I think it's more likely that it happens than it doesn't now.
Mm-hmm. The steam's picking up, but that wasn't all. So you had the GM of the Rams, Les Snead. He was doing some media today. He was on several different shows as well today. And here he was. He was on with Colin Cowherd. You can listen to at 6 o'clock every day after we go off right here on WSJS. Here was the GM of the Rams talking about Aaron Donald.
I don't think Aaron's truly been tempted to come back since he's retired. I do think, let's call it the excitement around the Myles Garrett trade. I'm thinking he's tempted. He's really tempted for the first time. Now, whether that temptation comes to fruition or not, time will tell. That's just how Aaron is. I think, if Aaron were to come back, I'm like you. If Kalis can do it at 39, Aaron can do it at 35 in some form or fashion. I know this about Aaron Donald at his core. He wouldn't come back unless he thought, you know what, I could really, really, really help the Rams.
Mm-hmm. That was the GM of the Rams, Les Snead. But lastly, the last one to drive this home, as if we haven't enough, and I'm going to give you a visual for this one. So this is Sean McVay yesterday at a press conference being asked about this. And I wanted to give you the visual of this. And this is a great time to go to our YouTube stream, our X stream, because his reaction to this, his reaction as he's being asked the question about Aaron Donald, he lights up like a kid on Christmas. He lights up like a Christmas tree. Here he was. Just look how big his eyes get and the smile as the question's being asked.
Listen, if he's interested, you know, there is no. Here's what I say. You talk to Aaron and you see what he's saying about that. But here's what I would tell you guys overall, too, is, you know, Aaron's a guy that I stay really close in touch with. And I know the respect that he has for Miles. Talk to him about the opportunity to be able to bring him on board. If Aaron decides he wants to dust them off at the age of 35, I bet you he could still do it at a pretty high clip.
There it is. So that's all the most reliable sources. The head coach, the GM, insiders around the league. Me thinks Aaron Donald eventually, and I kind of agree with the timeline that Dan Orlovsky laid out there, probably not till later in the year. And also that would help you kind of see, all right, what do the Rams really have here and really make him make a decision. But Aaron Donald to the Rams, it's not just a rumor. There's real smoke there. And where there's smoke, there's fire. That's all I'm saying.
You're on the Triad's only live sports talk show, The Drive. You ain't on my level. Can't you see I'm just too swagged out? We say what you're yelling at your radio.
Brian Geisinger of 24/7 Sports gonna join our cause at 5:30. Also got the Madhouse Minute at 5:30 as well. We'll talk to Austin Shuford. He runs things over at Bowman Gray Stadium. A lot of good stuff coming your way on a Wednesday drive. Glad to have you in, however you're watching, however you're listening. YouTube X, that's where you can watch us on our streams. Okay. Kind of getting back to the theme of, like, this is an incredible sports week. Like, we just talked about the Canes and the Golden Knights, Stanley Cup last night. We just talked about one of the hottest topics in the NFL happening right now and Aaron Donald likely going back to the Rams. But then the NBA Finals starts tonight. Knicks, Spurs, San Antonio. You got the Larry O'Brien trophies back out on the court where they belong. I saw the Knicks were running practice yesterday listening to nothing but Michael Jackson, so they're inevitably going to win, right? Is that what that means? You know, got the King of Pop on your side. I mean, what can you say? It's like, how do you fight Wimby? King of Pop. That's what you do. Getting to the game, though. Wimby is on the final stage for the first time in his career. And you've got him bringing along this new version of San Antonio after they just had a dynasty back in the day. Or not back in the day. Back in the, you know, 2000s to 2010s. Winning five titles. Tony Parker. Manu Ginobili. Tim Duncan. Coach Pop. And don't kid yourself, Coach Pop is still right there in the background, a mastermind of a lot of this stuff. You see what a bond he's already formed with Wimby. Like, see, that's the thing about legends like that that stay in the building. Man, that's such a weapon. Whether it's Pop in San Antonio, whether it's Coach K who's still in the building at Duke, it's like the Godfather's in there somewhere, still pulling the strings in their own way, which is, again, you're pretty fortunate if you have something like that. But then on the Knicks side of things, you know, they're back on the final stage since they met the Spurs in 1999 when Tim Duncan beat Patrick Ewing's Knicks. Knicks looking for their first chip in over a half a century. So this is a pretty, you know, this isn't, last year you had the Thunder, Pacers, small market. Ugh, this is a gross finals debate. Not this time. This is a good one. So the Knicks are hot. One of the hottest teams in the postseason, like on one of the best postseason runs we've seen. They've won 11 straight. They've set a record margin of victory in these playoffs. You know, you look at a lot of those other teams, most recently the Warriors in 2017, that had this kind of margin of victory. They won titles, a lot of those teams. In fact, I think all of those teams that had like this type of margin of victory went on to win it all. Decades of disappointment for the Knicks in the Dolan era leading up to this. And they're finally back, MSG, back as a stage of the NBA Finals. Jalen Brunson, as hot as it gets right now, embodying that blue-collar New York energy on the court, and they went 2-1 against the Spurs this year. Now, the good news is Mitchell Robinson of the Knicks, he broke his pinky. That's not the good news. But he is going to play, and good on him, because Knicks fans were going to let him hear it if he did not play because of a broken pinky. He had to have surgery on it. Knicks fans were about to let him hear it. I'm just going to say that. It's like, we finally get back to the finals. We need all hands on deck to go up against Wimby, and you're not playing? Not pretty good. Not good. Not good. The Spurs, they're just blossoming right in front of our eyes. I mean, Wimby, I believe, has taken the mantle right away from SGA as the best player in this league. If you believed SGA was the best player in this league. Jokic is a possibility as well. Is that who you believe it is, Morgan?
I'd say Jokic is number one.
It's not Kawhi Leonard, Clippers fan.
Kawhi, he's not in it.
Well, Wimby, I think, has taken the mantle. And I think he's done it right here in front of our eyes in these playoffs, which, of course, means the Spurs have the best player in this series, which is a massive factor. I mean, there's only a few players that we've seen in history that really put the NBA on notice and just put the NBA on lockdown is the better way to put it. It's Bill Russell and it's Michael Jordan. Those are really the two. I think Wimby's about to do that. I do. I really do. And he hasn't even won the title yet, which is the crazy part. And you got this young, up-and-coming supporting cast, Stephon Castle, Dylan Harper. So, looking at all those factors for both sides, give me the Knicks tonight. The Michael Jackson part is just too strong. That's not what it is. I just think the Knicks, they take one on the road here in game one because I think They're still riding this all-time heater. They're more rested. They're more healthy, although the Mitchell Robinson thing. But I still think overall they're still more healthy. Meanwhile, the Spurs just emptied the bucket against the Thunder in a seven-game thriller. That's mentally, physically taxing. I still think the Spurs win this series in six, which is my prediction for that. But right here at game one at the start, Knicks being fresher, riding a lot of momentum, Spurs a little emotionally drained potentially. I think the Knicks take game one tonight. It's going to be a great game, though. Your thoughts, Morgan?
I don't have many thoughts. Full transparency, haven't watched the Knicks very much, so I don't know exactly what they're going to run.
What have you been watching?
A lot of dirt track racing.
Nice.
But just the Knicks are a very good team, though. You don't just win in that fashion and coast your way. No. They're a very good team. Mm-hmm. They had an easier path. Boston got knocked out early. Few other major teams got knocked out early, but they're still a phenomenal team, and they have the pieces, I think, if they play it right, to shut down Wemby enough to make it a competitive series. And that's what scares me if I'm a Spurs fan.
Knicks, Spurs, game one tonight. Fire that up. Fire that bump. Good bump. Good bump we're going to see tonight. Good bets about to be placed right now in Dalton's Dollars. Stack
it up, stack, gotta stack it up. Get the money all the time, though. It's time to cash in. Welcome to Dalton's Dollars.
Show me the money!
Show me the money.
Breaking down the board and building the bankroll.
Jay Davis writes in on our comments here, Morgan, you haven't really had a chance to watch the Knicks. They've been chilling. That's why I think they win game one tonight. That's a big factor there. He also says Aaron Donald's wife said, we, and I guess everybody that thinks Aaron Donald's going to come out of retirement are hilarious for that. Yeah, well, Aaron Donald seems to be entertaining it. That's all I'll say. Seems to be picking it up. That's all I'm saying. Last night we placed four bets, put four on the card for Canes, Golden Knights. Went 2-2. Split. So, coming in 17-15, so still in the green, but Logan Stankoven took him for an anytime goal, didn't get it, and I threw in Seth Jarvis last minute, and you know what really frustrates me? As I was scanning the app, my eyes glazed across Nikolai Ehlers, and I almost did it. I almost went, no, let's go, Jarvie. Nikolai Ehlers scores the first two goals, wouldn't you know it. So those two didn't hit, but we did. I bet against my team because my pocket wanted me to, and I'm glad I did. Vegas moneyline cash.
Show me the money!
We also thought it would go over 5.5 total, and boy, did it.
Show me the money!
5-4 final. A lot of goals scored last night. So 2-2 split as I punch my mic. That's great. So we're 19-17 now on the summer bets. Tonight it's all NBA Finals game one. We're taking the Knicks money line. I get it at +154.
Show me the money!
Mikal Bridges. You ever do that where you read something and you say it as you read it and it looks like it should say one thing, but it actually... Mikal Bridges. I did that one time. I was ordering some bourbon salmon from a store, and as I'm saying it, I'm reading it, I said bourbon salmon. And my best friend has never let me forget it. Mikal Bridges, I've got him at -126 odds to score over 15 or more.
Show me the money!
Last nine playoff games, he's averaging 18.7. I like my odds. On the Spurs side of things, I like Wemby to go 12 or more rebounds.
Show me the money!
I get that at -113. And Dylan Harper, who in the last three games has had at least three assists, so I'm going to take him to go over 2.5 assists.
Show me the money!
So that's the, we had four last night for that final game one between the Canes and the Golden Knights. We have four tonight between the Spurs and Knicks. Knicks money line, Mikal Bridges to score 15 or more points, Wimby 12 or more rebounds, Dylan Harper over 2.5 assists. That's been Dalton's Dollars. The YMCA. It's where you need to be. It's where you need to go. If you want a trainer, a personal trainer can help you out. Because, I mean, if you've been out of fitness for a long time and you're trying to get back into it, sometimes it can be more difficult than you think to stay accountable. It can. So when you go to the YMCA, they're going to help you with that. And what they're also going to help you do is give you some 24/7 access. Because if you are going to the Alexander, Davie, or Stokes County YMCA's 24/7 access, you can work out whenever it suits you. So they're trying their best to make sure your fitness journey goes the way you want it to and the way it should, quite frankly. So more flexibility, more convenience, and fitness on your schedule only at the Y. Jay Davis chiming in again here on YouTube. WD, you're young, but trust me, wife has more say-so than anybody else, probably even Aaron Donald. I guess it depends on who you ask. That's all I'll say about that.
Check this out.
We're on in 5.
We've got opinions hotter than your car seat right now. You're on The Drive.
WSJS, where we do something called the No Rules Top 5. It's where we take 5 of anything. We've done breakfast foods. We've done, you know, cookout foods. A lot of food around here. We've done race car schemes. That's Morgan's forte.
Bojangles.
We've done a lot. But sometimes we actually do want to rank something sports related, and we do that now. It is the top 5 offseason NFL moves for this year in the No Rules Top 5.
The No Rules Top 5.
And this is show business mixed with a little monkey business.
Rank it.
Huh? What?
Run it.
Morgan, knock 'em dead.
All right, here we go. At number 5. The Panthers sign Jalen Phillips.
Ooh.
I didn't originally have this on my top 5, and I changed it about 5 minutes before show start, because while it isn't a big blockbuster move such as Trey Hendrickson, it is a culture changer for the Panthers, not in just of the sense that you're adding a big player to your roster.
Yeah.
He actually wanted to come to your team. This is the first time since Cam Newton that you've actually attracted big-time free agents that you haven't had to pay way over the market cap for, and you paid his actual, like, valued salary. Mm-hmm. This is a huge deal for the Panthers.
I mean, it was a big need for them, too.
It was, and it filled a huge hole on that front seven. The Giants add John Harbaugh as head coach at number 4. People aren't giving this enough attention.
Culture changer,
but 6 playoff appearances in the last 8 years on a struggling Ravens team that we can say has been on the downfall while he was there in the last 8 years. The Patriots acquire A.J. Brown.
There it is.
At number 3. I mean, they didn't even give a first-round draft pick for this year. That's what makes it so big. They gave away next year's first-round draft pick. Kind of crazy. At number 2, Kenneth Walker to the Chiefs. How can you support your quarterback coming off an ACL injury than with less pressure? How about a 1,000-yard rusher that he hasn't seen in his career? Patrick Mahomes has not had that. This is the largest active drought in the NFL.
That's
true. Hopefully going to be resolved at the end of this season. But I don't think people are talking about this one enough with Kenneth Walker to the Chiefs. And number 1, I mean, Rams for Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I feel like that has to be like default number one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they gave Jared Verse, who's in his third year, so he's still very young. He's not going to be Myles Garrett by any means, but you also got a first pick and a second round pick for him. Browns are still adding up on those picks, looking to make some moves, maybe for a new quarterback in this upcoming offseason. What better way to do that than add up on more picks and get another star rusher?
So in review,
Jalen Phillips at number 5, John Harbaugh, number 4. A.J. Brown to the Patriots, number 3. Number 2, Kenneth Walker to the Chiefs. And the Rams get Myles Garrett.
It's a good list. Very quality list. Oh, no. Jay Davis writes in, Mekhi Lemon just got hurt. I guess out at Eagles camp. We'll have to find the details on that and dig into that. So I actually had 3 honorable mentions that just couldn't quite make the cut. One of mine is Jalen Phillips to the Panthers. For a lot of the reasons that you said. I mean, he, first of all, it was the need that Carolina most needed to address. And a lot of us thought they were going to maybe do it in the draft, but instead they went out and they got one of the best rushers out there on the market. Trey Hendrickson to the Ravens. It didn't make the cut just because I like these 5 that I have a little bit more so. But I really toyed around with putting this in there, mainly because the Ravens did not have to give up any draft picks to get him. Didn't have to do that.
Now, he is 3 years older than Max Crosby.
He is. And listen, the offense is going to have to do their part, which I think they I tend to think they are, but we'll see how it all plays out. But if the offense does do their part and this leads to a deep playoff run, maybe even a Super Bowl run, who knows? We're going to be talking about this move a lot. Also, Fernando Mendoza drafted by the Raiders. You shake your head. I think that is a franchise-altering move in the sense that the quarterback, I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league, and Fernando Mendoza, I believe, is going to be a culture changer there, or part of a culture changer with how he goes about his business, his work ethic, and the things that are around him. Like, Tom Brady was out there watching him throw at practice the other day. You've got Max Crosby now back there again, and I think he's bought in to Fernando Mendoza. Brock Bowers, Ashton Jeanty. Like, they've got some dudes. And Kirk Cousins there to mentor Fernando Mendoza and potentially not throw him right into the line of fire because they don't have to. I think there's a really good situation there, and I think that move, drafting him number 1 overall, that's an honorable mention. I spent way too much time on my honorable mention. Number 5, Kenneth Walker to the Chiefs. First time, you said it. First time they've had, or Mahomes has had, a 1,000-yard rusher. They haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since Kareem Hunt in 2017. And having a legit threat, I mean, no shade to Isaiah Pacheco, but Kenneth Walker, he's fresh off of a Super Bowl MVP, winning a title, so he knows what that feels and tastes like. That, a legit threat coming out of the backfield for Patrick Mahomes, that's serious business. Number 4, Trent McDuffie, being traded to the Rams from Kansas City, no less. He's a physical corner. He can create fumbles and sacks. He's in his prime. But mostly, you add a guy like that to a room, a secondary room, that was just bad last year. They were bad. And that was a big problem for them in the playoffs last year. There's a big reason why, you know, things didn't go so well, ultimately, in the NFC title game. 3, A.J. Brown to the Patriots. I believe that move right there is going to change everything about this offense. I think you pointed out the other day, Stephon Diggs did not do overly much in the playoffs, so that might not be as much of a loss as people think. Especially the other day when you thought A.J. Brown was coming, but it hadn't been done yet. And now it's like you look around and say whatever you want about Will Campbell. Who's the other? Didn't they bring in another tackle? Draft another tackle or something?
They did, yes.
So they're trying to get him protected. They've given him weapons. They've given him some good receivers stacked up over the first couple of years. He's working with Mike Vrabel. And they've given him what he needs to succeed, I believe. And now, after going to a Super Bowl, I think they should be right back in the AFC conversation again with this move. I really do. I like it. I like it a lot. I mean, you see this with some of these quarterbacks, like whether it's Bo Nix in Denver, Caleb Williams in Chicago. What are some main goals? Protect him and get him weapons. Get him some toys to play with. And that's what they're doing in New England. Number two, the Bengals trading the 10 pick for Dexter Lawrence. For a couple of reasons. One, yes, it addresses and fixes the defense that was one of the bottom in the league last year. But it also keeps Joe Burrow from potentially requesting a trade. Because I'm not convinced he wouldn't have requested a trade if they had not made a splash like this in the offseason. I love this move. I think the Bengals are a contender as well. But number one, it's the default Myles Garrett to the Rams. The Rams taking a swing. Probably why they drafted Ty Simpson, number 13, instead of Mekhi Lemon or somebody else or a linebacker or a tackle or whatever. It's like they've got the insurance and the future plan that they're going to be working on in the background. But right now, they're all in. They address the secondary with McDuffie, as we mentioned, at number four. Myles Garrett might start the chain reaction that brings Aaron Donald back. This has got legs. This has got tentacles. And now they're win or bust. They're the Avengers right now. Just disgusting group. So, number five, Kenneth Walker to the Chiefs. Number four, Trent McDuffie to the Rams. Number three, A.J. Brown to the Patriots. Number two, Bengals picking up Dexter Lawrence. And number one, Rams getting Myles Garrett.
No love for Jaylen Waddle. That was...
That's probably an honorable mention.
It is an honorable mention. I mean, I was going to put Trey Hendrickson in mind, but
yep.
There's still too many questions around the Ravens for me to say that that's as big of a move as it is.
Todd Monken says he's very pleased with where the Browns are at right now out at camp today.
Dead last.
Nah, I actually think they got a pretty solid team, believe it or not. Browns might be sneaky this year.
So I am reading that Mekhi Lemon is injured at the moment, a right hamstring injury, soft tissue, kept him out of spring OTAs and potentially mandatory minicamp. They're just being a little cautious and expect him to be ready for training camp in July.
All right, that's optimistic. That sounds okay. Jay Davis writes in on YouTube, no love for Mike Evans to the Niners. Listen, that could be an honorable mention too. There was a lot of options here, man. I had to get it down to five. I would have loved to have done a top 10 list, but you know, you do what you can with what you got.
I mean, as long as they've got that plant next to the stadium, they're not getting anywhere. So turf is going to hurt them all.
Oh, jeez. I mean, there's a lot of things you could have done. Jaylen Waddle was one. I like that Jim Harbaugh. I like that. Going to the Giants. OBJ.
Can't stand the Giants. Can't stand them, but they're going to be a contender.
For that division.
For the division, yes. Not the Super Bowl. Not yet.
For that division. That's plenty good enough right now.
The Drive. The Triad's longest running live sports talk show. Better drive it like you stole it. Clock out, buckle up, and let the takes fly.
WSJS, where it's time to give away some concert tickets, your chance to win. All you got to do is call in at 336-777-1600 and give us a prediction for the Knicks and Spurs series. I got Spurs in six. Morgan, did you give an official prediction for the series, or you were just like, nah?
I didn't at the moment, but I might as well now. Let's go... Now let's mix it up. Spurs. No, you said Spurs, right?
I said Spurs.
Let's go
six.
Knicks in five.
Okay, jeez Louise. Boy, if that happens, New York might explode. So you say Knicks in five. I say Spurs in six. What do you say? 336-777-1600. Call in now for a chance to win some tickets to go see the Black Crowes. Whiskey Myers. It's the Southern Hospitality Tour. And it's going down in just 3 days. Just 3 days out at True Line Amphitheater in Charlotte. South Hall is a special guest here. We got two pairs. Two pairs of tickets with your name on it. If you can just call in at 336-777-1600 and give us a prediction for the NBA Finals between the Knicks and Spurs. It's Black Crowes and Whiskey Myers, the Southern Hospitality Tour. Okay. Got Brian Geisinger coming up, hour number two. And we'll have the Madhouse Minute in about 25 minutes or 20 minutes. 25 minutes. That's right. I can tell time. Austin Schufert going to join us. He runs things over out at Bowman Gray Stadium. But staying in the NFL, man, it's been an NFL heavy show, but I love it. I wouldn't have it any other. Yeah! Caleb Williams, the leaks were true. Caleb Williams is your Madden 27 cover athlete. Your thoughts, Morgan?
Why?
Why?
There are so many. You could have put Kenneth on it. Drake May. Could have put him on there. You could have put.
There's always options.
You could have put so many other players that were so much better than Caleb Wilson.
Williams, you mean?
Williams, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Caleb Wilson, we might have to get to some audio from him today or tomorrow. So they had NBA Finals media availability the last day or two. And Caleb Wilson might have a future as a reporter if the basketball thing doesn't work out. Spoiler alert, I think the basketball thing's going to work out. But he's got a great personality on him. So kudos to NBA media, whoever runs that, getting him a microphone and getting him out there. He was talking to Harrison Barnes, former Tar Heel, of course, asking questions. He was asking Stephon Castle questions, like best Atlanta rappers. We're going to bring you that audio. I don't know if we'll have time for it today, but on tomorrow's show, Caleb Wilson, the reporter, takes over at NBA Media Day. But nah, man, like I'm going to put this up on the screen, and if you're following us on YouTube or our X stream, might be time to do that now. The Drive with Will Dalton on YouTube, WSJS Radio on X. And, you know, we already had one picture that was the leak, turned out to be accurate. That was the deluxe version. But we got the standard edition as well released today, and I'll put this on the screen now because, I mean, this is just dope. This is the Bears, the post that they had about it. He's in the game. That's like the motto, I guess, for the Madden stuff. And essentially what it is, the standard edition on the left part of the screen here, it's the Chicago skyline, and it's Caleb Williams doing the jump throw that he had. They kind of like with last year's edition with Saquon Barkley, they recreated that backwards hurdle. I really like that they're doing this now. They recreated the backwards hurdle for Saquon Barkley, and that was the standard cover. And then, of course, you had the jump throw, just an incredible all-time highlight against the Packers in the playoffs, the Bears-Packers game. And they recreated that. And that's him doing the jump throw over the Chicago skyline. A lot of people had problems with this because they thought it was AI, like with the Chicago in the background. I don't know if it is or isn't. I also really don't care. I think it looks cool. People just love to complain. You know what I like to complain about? People that complain.
Can I complain?
Sure.
All right. It looks like he's doing Jumpman, kind of. It goes hard. It's a great cover.
Yeah.
But why Caleb Williams? Like, he had so many other great players I feel like you could have thrown on there that had amazing years alongside him. Matthew Stafford, I don't know if he's had one yet.
Valid.
Myles Garrett, I don't know if they really do defensive players since Richard Sherman. But, I mean, some of these other players deserve recognition, I think, a little more than Caleb Williams. But he did have that incredible play, and that deserves a good art, and he got one.
I'm surprised Jay Davis isn't writing and saying, why didn't you put Mike Evans on there? We love Jay Davis.
Jay Davis did not deserve that
slander. I'm sure he appreciates it. It's all in good fun. Screw the Niners. No, I mean, there were options. There were a lot of people you could have gone with. But Caleb Williams, he's an up-and-coming player. Probably going to take another step this year. He's a trendy player. He brings juice. Just make the graphics better. I always like to see the graphics get a little better each year. It sometimes feels like it's just the same game the last several years. Let's just make the graphics a little better.
Back to the Triad's longest-running live sports talk show, The Drive. Live, local, and not afraid to ruffle feathers.
Back at it on The Drive, right here on WSJS, where we welcome in our resident hoop nerd. It is Brian Geisinger of 24/7 Sports. B Guys, how we doing, man?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
Can't complain. I'm excited about this Spurs-Knicks series that gets going tonight, and I'll just pose it to you right here at the top. I mean, what, if anything, could the Knicks do to possibly slow down? I don't know if they, I don't think they can stop Wemby, but what could they potentially throw at him to slow him down?
Well, they've got a pretty darn good player to throw at him, and I'm not talking about Mitchell Robinson, who I'm sure will, you know, banged up as he is, will spend some time on Wemby. And I'm not talking about Karl-Anthony Towns, though I think he will also spend some time on Wembanyama. I'm talking about OG Anunoby, who's maybe the most ferocious, you know, wing defender, industrious, strong, one of the most impactful defenders on planet Earth, and is sort of, in some ways, the, like, archetypal defender to throw at Wembanyama in a universe where there is not another Victor Wembanyama, right? But someone that is athletic and fast, which OG Anunoby is, and someone who is strong in Burley and can bump and knock Wembanyama and force him off of his spots and keep him further away from the rim. There's a space on the floor where only Victor Wembanyama can play, and that's above the rim. But the further you keep him away from that, the more you force him to try to go isolate and drive through someone like OG Anunoby, the tougher you're going to make it. And the Knicks also have a variety of wing defenders outside of OG Anunoby that you can load up in the gaps on too, with Mikal Bridges, with Josh Hart. You have guys that can, when he tries to face the basket and drive, can be a real deterrent. You're going to need Mitchell Robinson to be a presence around the rim when they try to go pick and roll and look for Victor on the dive and on the lob. New York's going to be able to switch some of those actions depending on, you know, where they put Mikal Bridges and where OG Anunoby is and what the primary assignments are. So they have some tools at their disposal for a young player in Wembanyama who, as amazing as he is still figuring things out in terms of his own offense and is still figuring things out in terms of his own physicality. Like, he's not all the way quite there yet. And is also playing with a collection of guards that, while very, very good, and Dylan Harper is going to be a superstar, are, you know, 19, 20 years old, if you're talking about Harper and Steph Castle, or they're guys that are also dealing with injuries, which Harper and De'Aaron Fox have too. So I see a pathway to New York's defense having success in this series, but certainly it's going to be difficult.
Brian Geisinger with us here on WSJS of 24/7 Sports. Now, getting to the Knicks specifically here, I mean, they're on one of the more dominant runs in the playoffs that we've seen. You know, 11 double-digit wins this postseason that they've had. Do you put that into the conversation of this is just a little bit of a weaker East, or is this just really good Knicks?
I think the fact that Musa kind of said one of the key words, which is like the or phrases, the double-digit victories, because that's not just sliding by, you know? And that is a like convincing, resounding victory against teams that, yeah, look, you know, in 3 years from now, we're not going to be talking about the 2026 Atlanta Hawks, you know what I mean? But these are still good basketball teams. And maybe they got, maybe they lucked up a little bit. You got Philadelphia, you know, the week after, you know, the week that Joel Embiid's body starts to break down again after he played, you know, pretty well against against Boston. But you got to line up and play what the bracket dictates. They've done that. They've dominated and they've won so in truly convincing fashion. And like, I know the Cavs were a bit of a mess this season and never quite figured it out. And even in the playoffs, still seem to be still hunting for an identity. But that is a team that's got like multiple future Hall of Famers on it. So it's like they haven't beat pure slouches. And I obviously the real test will start tonight. But I think they've played a schedule that probably deserves a little bit more credit than it's getting, that it's received. And again, the key piece is that they've been so dominant and convincing in those performances. It's not even just the margin of victory. If you've watched those games, you've seen how systematically they just dismantled those teams too. So very impressive stretch of play over the last month. That's also the key word too, right? This hadn't been like a 2 week stretch or what. This is a month of basketball in which they were just like, you know, destroying their competition. So very impressive, but all of it will be for naught, or most of it will be for naught, if they don't, you know, really get the job done and play a competitive final series against San Antonio.
Getting to the Western Conference Finals that we just saw, like an incredible seven-game series between the Spurs and the Thunder. Now, a lot of these games, most of them didn't end up being close, whatever the result ended up being. But I mean, the Thunder, they're the defending champ for a reason. They just happened to go up against a team that had Wimby and a bunch of budding stars on it. It was like the shortest window of like, this is the best team by default in the NBA that we've seen. And now here come Wimby and the Spurs. So I'm curious, as somebody who watches these things very closely, what is a move that the Thunder could make this offseason that could really kind of, you know, put them back in the mix of, all right, they have like a legit threat and they have an opportunity here to pose problems to the Spurs for years to come?
Yeah, it's like, I think that we don't have time to get into all of the scenarios, but like, I think there are like, broadly speaking, like two or three paths to go. And there's like the one path, which is the one that everyone's talking about now, which is like the blow up the core, trade a lot of your young pieces, or a couple of your young pieces, plus a bunch of your picks, and go try to get Giannis, right? I mean, that's sort of the one. And the Thunder have such an impressive collection of young players, future draft capital, salaries to match, including some team options that they can pick up on players that they could then turn into, you know, expiring trade chips. So, like, they have all the tools to win a negotiation or a trade war or whatever against an opposing team. I think there's a chance, or more likely the chance, that they, and this is the one that if I were like advising them, I would be telling them to like sit pat. I know what happened with Chet Holmgren. Mm-hmm. That was bad. That was bad. Like, there's no sugarcoating that. But he was just all NBA and runner up to Victor Wembanyama for the Defensive Player of the Year. My hope would be, can you have an off season to get this guy's mind right? And ultimately, I think he's mostly fine if he's your third option, but you've got to get Jalen Williams and AJ Mitchell healthy. If those two guys play, then maybe they beat San Antonio in seven, and we're talking about, you and I are having this conversation, but we're talking about a dynasty right now, not like, oh God, what do they need to do to get Giannis and bring him into Oklahoma or whatever. So my thought would be, don't hit the panic button yet. Try like heck to get Jalen Williams healthy. You need him so badly, but he's one of the top 15, 20 players in the world when he's going right. Get AJ Mitchell going. He's on maybe the best contract in the league. And all of a sudden you've got two extra creators and a guy like Jalen Williams that's a do-everything wing. You know, you're going to have to figure out what you want to do with guys like Lu Dort, who I believe has a team option for next season. So they're going to have to end up moving off of some you know, sort of like, you know, rotational players the last couple of years, but they've got guys waiting in the wings on the roster, you know, high first round picks that have barely played the last couple of years that are itching for a chance, like Thomas Sorber, the center out of Georgetown, who I really liked in the 2025 draft. And they're going to have another lottery pick this year too, to maybe bring in, you know, Yaxel Lendenborg or Morez Johnson or something like that. Someone that could give them even more pop in the front court room. So I think that they should, my thought would be that this thing, they're closer to being, you know, to being like a real true blue, you know, championship contender for years to come. They really should just try to sit pat. And the only time I would really be looking to sort of like blow up my young core, because if you trade for Giannis, you're going to get older too, is the time when all of a sudden having Shea, Jalen Williams, and Chet Holmgren on max contracts, once that becomes sort of like cost prohibitive and maybe they're going to get there sooner rather than later, then I would be looking to shake things up. But not until then. I'm still feeling too good. Even as disappointing as the Western Conference Finals was.
Brian Geisinger of 24/7 Sports with us here on WSJS. A few more things for you on the way out. So LeBron James is about to be, is a free agent at 41 years old, and it feels like there's really three paths that people are talking about. Like, there was the report yesterday that Golden State is a live option that's very much in play. You got Cleveland, which I felt made a lot of sense, but if they sign James Harden to a multi-year deal, I don't know if it works financially. And then you got the Lakers potentially just running it back there. Where do you think makes the most sense? Where would be the best fit for LeBron James at this point in his career?
I got to say, I mean, my hope would be if you could get him to buy into the role that he was really playing in the back like third of the season, you know, before Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves got hurt, and the Lakers were you know, maybe not, you know, at full hum, but we're looking, you know, pretty darn good. The version of LeBron that's leaning into being a cutter, a secondary creator, an open floor connector. I feel like that's kind of the move, in part because right now I kind of think like Cleveland has larger existential things to figure out, like what they're doing with Harden and Donovan Mitchell. You know, can you roll out the Mobley, the Evan Mobley, Jared Allen front court? Like, they've got like big foundational stuff to figure out. It'd be one thing if you could say like, look at all this stuff we got going for us. Okay, we've got the salary slot. We can just fit LeBron in right here. Boom, let's do it. And who knows? Maybe they get to that place. I kind of like the thought of him playing with Steph in Golden State, just for the, you know, I don't think that's going to be a title contending team, but just for the memes, as my fiance would say, for the memes, like, that is something that would be pretty fun to see. But I gotta think he's sticking in, or my prediction or my, you know, suggestion would be stay in LA, play with Luka, play with Austin Reeves, live in one of the coolest cities in the world, and just continue to lean into this role of being like the third wheel who can take over a game or take over a quarter when he needs to, but is really out there to be an athlete and be a connector, and really just like help usher in the Luka Doncic era of the Lakers.
All right, BG. I've got Knicks tonight taking game one. I think they're going to ride this hot streak into San Antonio, where the Spurs, they just kind of emptied the bucket against OKC. I think that could play a bit of a factor here. So I got the Knicks tonight taking game one. Who do you have tonight?
Ooh, Knicks on the road.
Yeah.
I like it. And they have the rest advantage too. I'm going to go San Antonio at home tonight. I just think that that's an important game for them. It's going to be a fascinating, there are so many different matchup pieces to keep an eye on here. You know, how San Antonio deploys Wembanyama, how, you know, defensively, how New York guards him, all that sort of stuff. But I will go with San Antonio for game one.
All right. Brian Geisinger, 24/7 Sports. Give him a follow. Check out his work on X, BGeis_Bird, his Substack as well. BG, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll stay tuned throughout the NBA Finals.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right, there he goes. Brian Geisinger, 24/7 Sports, joining us. Looking at our YouTube comments here, Jay Davis chimes in, says, Geisinger just echoed everything I've been saying about the finals and OKC. Well, you must be smart then, because Brian Geisinger is smart about these things.
Yeah, I liked his perspective on LeBron coming back to L.A. and being a Laker.
It's not popular. A lot of people don't feel that way, but it might be the most practical. Who knows?
But my only concern with what he was saying is, does LeBron even want to be the third guy on his roster? And if he is going to be the third guy on the roster, will he take a third man on the roster's pay cut? And that's what concerns me. I don't think he's taking the number three pay cut.
I don't either. I think he would take the role. I don't think he would take the cut.
And that's what the money is, what concerns me from him returning to the LA Lakers.
Golden State.
I'm going to echo it. I don't like the move for Golden State. I love it for ratings. Hate it for Golden State, as somebody who's, they've said, trying to transition to a new era. If this was LeBron when he was coming from the Heat, yeah, take LeBron. But it's not. You're not going to get him for five more years. You're going to get him for one, maybe two at the most, if he feels like he's 30 again.
I got to do some thinking. I got to make a final call on what I think, a prediction on what I think is going to happen there, because I felt Cleveland pretty strongly until they said, hey, we're probably going to give James, or at least Brian Windhorst reported, James Harden probably going to sign a multi-year deal. And then on the same day, he also reported LeBron's not going to take a pay cut to join Cleveland. Then that kind of was like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work. And I mean, there are a lot of things to figure out there, as BG laid out. It might be Lakers or Golden State.
It's not going to be Cleveland. Cleveland needs a defender. I mean, James Harden's defense is softer than soft serve ice cream. Like,
can't stop a cold.
Yeah, I can't. And can I change my series prediction for the?
Tell right ahead.
For the NBA Finals, I don't like Knicks in five.
Yeah, I don't. I'm glad you don't like Knicks in five. That's a bold one right there.
I don't want to echo you, Spurs in six.
I mean, do what you got to do. If you feel it, you feel it.
But that's what I'm feeling.
So we both have Spurs in six, and we both have Canes in six. And we both had Vegas last night winning game one.
Who do you have tonight winning? The Knicks?
Knicks.
Okay, well,
you going to take the Spurs?
I'll mix up. I'll take the Spurs at home.